I want to welcome you to the House of Prayer for All Nations and to the Gateway of New England. Now, what is God going to do this morning? I pray He's going to use the words that come out of my mouth to relieve some of the pressure out of your own hearts. I'd like you to come on a little journey with me into the Well, I really have two places, so I think we're going to start off with Acts chapter 3, okay? Acts chapter 3. Now, the book of Acts describes the beginning of the Church of the Living God, and it doesn't match religion. In fact, if it started again today, it would create lots and lots of problems. I would like you to go to Acts chapter 3, and there's one verse that I want to really pull to the surface. And that's verse 21. He must remain in heaven, meaning Jesus, until the time comes for God to restore everything. Notice it's not your job to do the restoring. It's God's job. Amen? And a lot of times I used to have a picture of God's restoration for the world. My focus was on Israel, upon the rebuilding of the temple, and then Jesus could come again. And the Lord began to shatter some of that and began to upset my religious thoughts. How many have ever had religious thoughts? Okay. How many have ever had the Holy Spirit start disintegrating some of those religious thoughts? So, I remember multiples of times the Holy Spirit would use different individuals in my life to irritate my religious thoughts. Because you see, I came out of a religious pattern of thinking about me being hopeless, and possibly, if I did everything right, I might make it to heaven. Might. And the emphasis was on the M-I-G-H-T, might. If I did everything right. Well, guess what? This kid did everything. Yeah. And you heard what we talked about earlier. This block of wood got me into trouble constantly, and the accuser was encouraged to accuse me. How many know you can encourage the enemy? Just by listening to him. But there was no mention of my battle being against flesh and blood. Ephesians 6:12 was not part of my theology. I was not taught to behave and to make sure that I was good, and there was really nothing good in me, but I was looking for it. He must remain in heaven. Why does Jesus have to remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything? How and when is that time to be? How about now? And he began to show me years back, and I remember Gino, my old pastor, really irritating me. How many have ever had somebody really irritate you? Yeah. And I would get angry. And I would ruffle my own feathers. Yeah. And got mad. And God began to deal with me because he kept saying the heavens was your mind. Your mindsets. This is your heavens. This is where all the old garbage kits. And this is where all those bad thoughts come. And those heavens need to be what? What does the word say? God restores everything. Huh. Does that include the heavens?
Everything.
Everything. When the Holy Spirit began to make me aware that this was a Holy Spirit written book, written for and by the realm of spirit, not by flesh. He used flesh. He used many, many people over the centuries to write this book. And the purpose of it was to reveal the kingdom of God, which is in the spirit realm. Everything that you and I touch, feel, and see comes and was created by the realm of the spirit. So, whenever anybody was telling me there's going to be new renewal of my heavens didn't apply. I had this, all the heavens around the earth. Well, it's a reality. It's going to be that too. But you see, the first part that God wants to restore is this house, this earth, and this heaven. Oh. So then, Jesus can come in. Well, how did he do it? For me, I can remember going to the little manger scene that was in a little tiny, well, concise church in Canada. And every Christmas season, this entire corner of the sanctuary, which would have been about as large as this corner here, was draped like a great big mountain scene, which is kind of cute about the rock. Who had the vision of the rock falling? You did. And it was like a mountain scene, and it was all gray, painted stuff, you know, and it was huge. It would be like a looking from a cliff being built up. And then there was a grotto in the cliff. And inside the grotto was obviously the manger scene. It didn't have a little cabin. It was just inside the cave. And by the way, how many saw the movie, The Christmas Story? Okay. Did you notice he was born inside a cave?
Yeah.
With the animals. And when, years back, we had a teacher that came from Albany to teach us about the origin of Christ and the Passover lamb. She gave us insight that Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem in a cave because that's where lambs are born. Ah, so he could be called the Lamb of God because he was born with the lambs. And the shepherds could come. Because he was really talking prophetically, even by his birth. So what am I saying? When I went down on my knees and I remember there was a little box for the poor. And my mother and father would always give me money so that we could put some money in the poor box in front. And we would kneel in front of these little statues, for they were good size. Yay. And I can remember the impact in my own heart. Because every season of Christmas, I looked forward to go and give something to the poor. That was my goal. That was something I remembered. We moved away from there when I was 8. And obviously we visited back and forth, but it wasn't the same. I was out of my realm. I was in a different nation. I had to learn a new language. And all those things that God was doing with me that I didn't like. How many of you kids have had problems that you didn't like? Kids, come on. Never mind you adults.
We are kids. We're the king's kids.
We are, yeah, you may be the exception. But I'm talking about the little ones that are struggling. Yes. Struggling, trying to figure out mom and dad. Yeah. Did you ever try to figure out what mom and dad was like? Why can't they do it? Things like, they know how much I'm hurting. Do they really know how much you're hurting? This girl's right. They don't realize. You know why? Because they got their own broken heart. That's where you adult kids come in. Think about this season. Giving the kids a lift. Giving them some hope for the future. Giving them a way to really survive amongst a real challenge about Jesus being born in a manger and why he was born in yours and my heart. And how difficult it is for the believer today to walk inside of the shopping malls and all the different stores and all the things that are happening out there, trying to erase the memory of Christ Jesus and put some false stuff up. Amen? So all these things that God did with me, God was using to rebuild my thoughts, to rebuild my mind, and to really bring himself for me to accept him. For me to be able to say, okay, Lord Jesus, no matter how small I was, no matter how tall or difficult things have been, you have an ability to challenge me to grow a little more. And for the restoration of everything. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for this house of prayer to be restored. I'm looking for me to be changed in my thoughts, in my actions and reactions, so that I can have a peaceful coexistence with those that don't understand me. Even those that don't understand the Lord. So I want to go back now. I want you to see, at the beginning of this chapter, Peter coming to the knowledge of really a purpose of his own existence and how he was relating to the people around him. So it says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. At 3 p.m, now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going in to the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. I mean, you know, money's important during the holidays. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. I want you to kind of put a word or maybe a circle in your Bible around the word expectation. Expecting God to do something to dramatically change me and you. Expecting God to challenge my sickness with his ability to heal. To challenge God with my weakness and letting him pour in his power to overwhelm the darkness. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. Now, how did Peter have something in him without going through a test? He wouldn't have had it if he didn't go through a test. And we're going to talk about that. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to this man. Now, verse 11 says, while the beggar held on to Peter and John, and all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness? Listen carefully now. As if by my own power or godliness, I have made this man walk, or we have made this man walk. Then the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the Holy Righteous One, and he asked that you asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life. You killed the author of life. But God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. And by faith in the name of Jesus, this man, whom you see and know, was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through Jesus that has given this complete healing to him. As you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he has foretold through all the prophets, saying that his anointed one, his Christ, would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that the times of refreshings may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything. As I was studying this morning, and the Holy Spirit brought something to light, he said, Kim, Peter would have never been able to give that sermon had he not denied me. And I said, yes. Peter would have never been able to say, our God has enough compassion to heal you, even if you murdered the author of life. Even as you call yourselves believers, and you are, and even when you hit a crisis where you deny the author of life, how many have ever gotten mad at God? Why did you treat me this way? I didn't do anything wrong. And you're compelled to let him know about it, as if he didn't know. You are compelled, and your mouth goes off, and you shoot off some mighty, mighty flames of unholy fire. Amen? But you see, Peter had to go through the test in order to have compassion on the leaders of Israel. And even in the leadership of the priesthood, who had crucified the author of life. Oh, you say, wait a minute. Peter, he's so different than me. I got news for you. He's just like you. And you're just like him. You swing from left to right, and so did he. You go from right to wrong, and so do I. And if you don't think so, move into 9 Sylvia Street next week. Oh, if you giggled, maybe we'll move into your house. Why? Because you might see two sides of you and two sides of me. Is this flesh sometimes under the wrong anointing? Does that dragon want to drag me? Yes! But if you don't give compassion to the neighborhood, how are you going to give compassion to those that don't even know him yet? You have to start by giving compassion and getting a new mindset. Put some gold on those thoughts. Yes? Put some gold on these ideas that are not godly. Cover up the law that says they got to be perfect. After all, I'm trying so hard to be perfect. Well, are you so perfect you can judge your neighbor? Was Peter so perfect that he couldn't give compassion to those who had destroyed the author of life? You know, yesterday morning, I had such a gift from God. It was one of the Good Morning programs, Good Morning America, I believe it was, or whatever. Did anybody see the testimony about the little lady? I would say she's 80-something, 70-something. It's hard to tell. But I would guess at 80, 85. And, you know, I gave myself a Father's Day present. I bought a new TV. And my new TV has a reverse button so that you can replay what's on the TV. And it costs absolutely nothing more. Okay, so now I am so excited, and my wife is in the bathroom trying to get ready. And I said, honey, you've got to take 3 minutes. Come. So I backed up on the replay. You know, I pushed that little wonderful little button. And by the way, it's wonderful when you're listening to some preacher and you didn't get the verses or whatever. You can back it up and listen again. So I replayed this for my wife, and we both got a real gift. This is on national television on Saturday morning, advertising Jesus Christ. Those of you who didn't see it, if I don't do it right, maybe Peggy can help. But they show this lady sitting in her car, and she's elderly, and the interviewer says, and what happened to you? Well, she says, a man came with a gun after I had just finished shopping at Walmart, and I sat in my car and started it up, and he sat in the passenger seat and took a gun and said, I'm going to kill you. And she says, well, you have a problem. She says, you have a gun, and you're not getting my money, because that's what he wanted. He says, give me your money. And she says, I told him 3 times, you're not getting my money, so get over it. And she says, well, I'm going to kill you. She says, you have another problem. If you kill me, I go straight to heaven, and you go straight to hell. So now, maybe you better start thinking about prayer. He said, well, maybe I'll pray tonight. She says, no, you can pray right now. And so she brought him to the Lord, and he kissed her on the cheek, and she gave him the $10 she had, because that's all she had. And the guy says, aren't you going to press charges? She says, absolutely not. She says, I am praying that that young man will go and do likewise.
She also told him not to buy any liquor with it.
Yes, she also told him, don't go buy no booze with this. That's right, no liquor, no alcohol. So you see what I'm saying? Have you got that kind of courage? Have you got the same Holy Ghost inside of you? Yes, you do. Okay, until what? Until what? When is Jesus returning? When is he returning? He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything. As he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me, and among your own people, you must listen to everything he tells you. Who was he talking about? He was talking about Christ. He was talking also about the future Christ, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. How are you going to come to life and be changed? Because of Christ Jesus being inside of you and me. How are we going to corporately change this area? By releasing living water. I forgot your picture, by the way. I have a picture of this place before the High Point Inn was built. And on it, it shows the circle where this water tower used to be. So you need to know that this part of history. Why is God bringing such an impact in us? Because his intent is to restore us. His intent is to make us like Peter. How do you expect to be like Peter without going through a trial? How do you expect to be an overcomer without something to overcome? Did Peter go through hell after he denied Jesus Christ? I never knew this man. After all, I don't even speak Galilean. Why? Because they had a dialect. That's like trying to tell somebody that lives in Texas, ministering up here, that they don't have a southern drawl. Don't tease yourself. Don't kid yourself. Peter was a dead giveaway. The maid could tell what he was from and where he came from. And he denied it. I never knew you. And he did it 3 times. I mean, you know, that's pretty good. 3 times. Did you ever get angry 3 times in a row at the Lord? Well, then you're going to have to repent, change your mind. That's what repentance means. To repent is not to start boo-hooing away. Because you can bawl 3 days and never renew your mind. You can bawl in depression for the rest of the month. And you'll never renew your mind. But you can declare God's word. And his promises are now and forever and amen. They are now and forever. Those promises are for then and they're for today. So what is he trying to do in you and me? Let the fire come. Let that fire come and burn out the old stuff and recreate you in his image. Recreate you so that you can be changed and dramatically transformed, because that's his heart. He wants to transform us. He wants to heal us. He wants this body of believer to really be established the way he wants us to be. Amen? And amen. Would you bow your heads, please? Lord Jesus, I cannot change one individual in this room, but I can pour love into them so that they can love each other. Lord Jesus, they cannot change anyone else in this room, even themselves. But as they pour love to each other and to themselves, there will be a transformation in this body of believers. There will be a healing balm that will release grace and mercy to every heart that's here. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. I kind of want to turn it over to the ladies because I know that we want to honor those who have brought things as far as in the food department. Men and women have brought goodies to share. This is a time to really enjoy the presence of the Lord and to celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. But I want you to be aware that the revelations are not done. There's going to be more and more of them. Pray for one another that you may be healed. You may not be perfect yet, but you know what? If you're on the road to perfection, God will take care of the rest.